Rocancho with Anna DeVlantis, Michael Steele, long-suffering head of the Republican National Committee, and now he's so glad he's not, is on the Super Celebrity Hotline.
What a mess.
Yeah, that's it. That is the truth. All right. Okay. Now this is interesting. This is an interesting moment because, you know, this is getting. We just played some of Michael Hayden from this morning on CBS this morning, talking about how he doesn't really like Hillary Clinton all that much, but he thinks she'd be better on national security than Donald Trump would be. Thinks that the national security phalanx would not respect or support decisions made by the President of the United States that could create quite a crisis in that administration, since that's executive branch and they technically work for him. What would you see happening there?
Look, this is the problem. Trump has not clarified or even given any serious indication of what his foreign policy would look like. So a lot of folks who I think in the long run would be supportive of some of his approaches, at this point, it's like, you know, I'm not getting anything, so I've got to get out of this. And that's what you hear Hayden doing. You're hearing other, national security people saying. And I think he's doing himself a great deal of harm right now because given the tensions around the world in the face of the two recent attacks, Orlando and now Turkey, and now just even today in Israel, potentially, you really want clarity. You want a sense of understanding the gravity of what's at stake here. And I just don't think Donald Trump is giving off that vibe. It's not that he doesn't know how to. It's not that he's not clued in on some of these initiatives because he's got smart people around him. I just don't know what the trigger is going to be for him to turn that on.
Well, here he was with Bill O'Reilly being asked directly by O'Reilly what he's going to do.
So I'm looking for specifics tonight, Mr. Trump. Do you have any for us?
Well, I do have them, and I hate to give them out because, frankly, if I win it, it looks like I have a pretty good chance of winning. I don't like to be giving out all this information. I'd like to just go and do the job. If you look at General Patton, he wasn't one to give out information on television and then do whatever he has to do.
Yeah,
but we're going to have to. I know that, but I've given out plenty. Believe me, I've given. I was the one that said take the oil, and I hated to tell everybody, and we should have taken the oil when we left.
All right, so he's talking about how to defeat ISIS.
I mean, look,
he's talking about General Patton. I mean, that General Patton was a general, and General Patton was third in command, right, of the European forces. It wasn't like
he was a general, third in command, and the reality of it is the buck does stop with the President of the United States.
Right.
General Patton takes his orders from the president. So no one's asking, you know, Donald Trump to lay out national secrets, which of course he hasn't begun to get that briefing. He'll get it in about 4 weeks, so he'll get those daily national security briefings. So it's not like you got to, you know, tell us everything you know. We want to get a clue that you know something.
Right.
The other thing, go ahead, Michael.
Go ahead, Adam.
It seems as if, though, he's also taking stances that are contrary to what we've seen from any Republican in the past. And he did that with his economy speech earlier this week as well, when he talked about how NAFTA has to be renegotiated and all these free trade agreements have to be renegotiated or scrapped. And a couple of days later, Bernie Sanders came out with almost the same rhetoric in an op-ed piece in the New York Times. It seems that he's straying from that Republican Party the core values, and that's where isn't he going to continue to lose support?
I don't necessarily say that that's the core value of the Republican Party, you know, that we support certain types of trade deals. I think that there's some principles that we apply to policies about how we view the economy, but I don't have a problem with that. That doesn't scare me. In fact, I think those types of debates within the party are ultimately very healthy because everyone who may hold those views or may come to those views feel that, okay, my voice is heard, it's being vetted, I've got a leader in the party who sees this situation or this problem the same way I do. So I don't really panic when I hear Donald Trump or any Republican, quite honestly, saying something that may be outside the orthodoxy. You know, if you're saying, look, I'm about raising taxes everywhere, then that's a principled belief that the party has about taxes, and that could be problematic. But this idea where you have considered minds have different views on our nation's trade policy, I think that's a good debate. In fact, just last night on the Fox channel, you had one of the anchors really speaking, you know, very forcefully in support of what Donald Trump was saying. So even within the party, those are legitimate debates. But what I think Donald Trump needs to do is decide what the parameters are. It's not enough to say, oh, I talked to generals, or, you know, this general, that general said this or that, and I don't want to tell you all my trade secrets. You should still give broad outlines of where you want to lead the country in foreign policy.
Right, and an idea of how you would target or how you would neutralize Assad, or whether you feel what your thoughts are on the fact that the United States and Putin might be actually getting together on a strategy surrounding Assad. I mean, that's all stuff that's developing today that is you know, worth commenting on. But the thing is, he leaves me with the impression that he doesn't know what he's actually doing. Now, what do you make of George Will saying he's leaving the Republican Party? I mean, he's one of the intellectual. He might be the right lobe of the conservative brain in America.
Well, I feel the same way about that as I did when Pat Buchanan left the party.
And what was that?
Who gives a rat's patootie?
I mean, they're like, so. He didn't define my republicanism. I get to do that. He wasn't the reason I'm a member of the party. So, you know, okay, you want to take your toys and go home. I still respect you. Think you're a great writer, a great conservative mind. You've come to your own conclusion. Some of us are going to try to stay in this fight and turn things around and move this nominee in a direction we think could ultimately be helpful to winning in November. As you know, from the very beginning of this campaign season, I've not been a hair on fire Republican. I've not been.
You don't have hair to catch fire.
Well, that's true. So that's probably why. But cooler heads have prevailed, right?
Okay.
I don't see the reason for jumping up and down and screaming, because I'm not getting my way or I don't like somebody, I'm going to leave the party. That's just way too definitional for me, and I think I define my republicanism a lot broader than just Donald Trump.
Michael Steele, let me ask you a question, because I've never asked you this directly. Have you had, feel free to not answer, but are you having conversations with the nominee, presumptive nominee, and are you finding, if in those conversations, can you characterize them as positive?
I will say that I have shared counsel from time to time, and they've always been positive conversations, which is again why I scratch my head as I did at the beginning of this segment. Go, I don't understand why, because it's not like he doesn't know. It's not like he doesn't have the smart people around him to tell him and inform him. What I've concluded, Roe, is this, simply this: Donald Trump is still in a fighting mode, and largely because the anti-Trump forces have continued their battle against him. And I suspect, my gut tells me, that the dynamics of this race inside the party changes once he has firmly been secured as the nominee of the party. He still has delegates who are fomenting revolt at the convention. He still have guys like Will and Romney and others who are speaking trash talk about him. So he's still in very much in a defensive mode. Which is why he keeps attacking the party.
Yeah.
I think once he's got that nomination in his pocket, then the tone and tenor changes for him. That's just my bet.
Okay. And very quickly, let's talk about Hillary Clinton for a second here. Bill Clinton somehow sees Loretta Lynch
at an
airport in Phoenix, right? And it's like, hey, let me, I'm going to get on the plane. Let's talk a little bit. Here's what the grandkids look like. Here's what's going on. And obviously, Loretta Lynch would be, the person who would bring an indictment against Hillary for the email or, Benghazi or any of the rest of it.
There's an ongoing investigation.
So let me put it to you this way. So when Loretta Lynch does not bring an indictment against Hillary Clinton, especially if one is recommended by the FBI, what does that say to the American people about that moment?
Well, right.
Loretta Lynch should have told the President of the United States, Mr. President, as you know, we are engaged in an investigation. I suggest we not have a conversation at this time. Boom. But the fact that they sat on a plane for 30 minutes together, and trust me, they weren't just talking about their damn grandchildren, that raises the kind of concern. You know, I tweeted out when the article on that first popped up yesterday, I tweeted out, And this is why the stuff around the Clintons always smells so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do stuff like this that raises in the minds of just everyday folks looking at it, gee, you're privileged. You get to talk to the attorney general while she's being, or your wife is being investigated, and there are no consequences. No one thinks there's any wrong about it. You got Democrats coming out today falling all over themselves saying that this is okay. And you know daggone well that if any Republican under indictment had a conversation with another Republican investigating that individual, social call, you know, come on.
The optics, at the very least.
The optics
terrible.
Are bad.
Optics
and,
are awful.
And he's, you know, they talk about Donald Trump being a chaos candidate or a chaos president. I happen to believe that's true. But this guy would be a chaos first gentleman, right? I mean, he would be, he's going to be finding his way into stuff that we're just going to make our head spin all day long. I want a redo. Is it too late for a redo? I want a redo. I want two new candidates. It's sort of like when you're playing cards and you're like, all right, I need three.
Well, unfortunately, I hate to tell you, the deck is stacked, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way to put it there, Michael.
Thank you, Bernie Sanders. I really appreciate that. All right. Thank you, Michael Steele. Appreciate it.
Hi, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. There
you
go. That's the great Michael Steele.